Will federal wildlife officials remove manatees from the endangered species list? This is Florida Matters.
Support for Florida Matters comes from the Hospitals of BayCare Health System, providing more than 100 health seminars, classes, and events each month. BayCare's mission is to build a healthier Tampa Bay. Register for a complimentary health seminar, class, or event at baycareevents.org.
From the Donna Studio at WUSF Public Media, I'm Craig Kopp, sitting in for Carson Cooper. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is reviewing the endangered status of manatees. Pacific Legal Foundation filed a lawsuit against the agency for failing to act on a 2012 petition to move the manatee from endangered to threatened. Now, federal wildlife officials are taking a look at a request to downlist the manatee. We have gathered a panel of experts here to talk about that request, but first, we're going to take a little visit to the Florida Manatee and Aquatic Center habitat at the Lowry Park Zoo in Tampa. Virginia Edmonds, who has been working at the Manatee Hospital for 18 years, tells Florida Matters producer Lottie Watts about how they're treating one of the manatees who's been at the zoo for about a month.
The manatee that we are looking at right now is a female, probably somewhere around 8 years old, and we only guess that by size and weight at a certain point. It's hard to tell. You get to a point where you're just like, they're 10 plus. She came in with a boat injury, so she was hit by a boat. It's an impact injury, which means the impact broke her ribs and punctured her lung, and so she's a little buoyant above the water. So when they get hit like that and it breaks the ribs, whichever side they happen to get hit on, the lung with the broken ribs punctures the lung, that air from that lung will leak into the chest cavity instead of actually, you know, being used by the body and being circulated by the lungs. So it's filling her chest cavity with air. And what we try to do to fix that injury is it's a collapsed lung, a pneumothorax, and people get them too. But we will put a needle into her chest and put a little water in the end of it, saline solution, and we will watch the air bubble out of her chest. And we try to drain all the air out. And what's happening is there's just a lot of pressure on the lung keeping it down. If the lung's healed and doesn't have a hole anymore, she'll swim like a normal manatee, hopefully. If the lung isn't healed, it depends on how big that hole is. In a matter of time, she will fill up and just be buoyant again. Then we just wait and try it again until maybe that lung is healed.
So those scars were pretty severe. I mean, when she rolled over, you could really see multiple scars.
Yeah, she has several scar patterns. Most of the manatees that come in here have several scar patterns. We even have animals that are under a year that come in and already have been hit by a boat. So there are about 5,000 manatees in Florida. Of those, 3,500 are identified in a database by their scars. So when we get a manatee in, we take pictures of them and send them to the database. They might be able to recognize that manatee. So it's actually kind of it's a shame that's how you identify these animals, that they've been, it's technically been mutilated so much that there's scar patterns on them that you can, that's what we go, oh, I know that manatee because it's got this particular pattern. So it's sort of shameful that it happened.
How many can you have here at one time?
We've had up to 23, and it's based on our filtration, how many we can house and make sure we still have good water quality for them. But and then some of it's based on treatment. Including ourselves and our veterinary staff, it's about a total of 10 people that take care of the whole rehab program. So if we have a manatee, a lot of manatees we have to treat at once, that could be an issue, but we've been able to do some stuff. We have some good long-acting antibiotics that we give a manatee an injection. If it's not eating, that takes a little more time. We have to tube feed them food and things. But in the end, we've never turned one away, and I don't think that's going to happen.
How fast do they move?
Manatees are slow-moving, and they're very shallow water animals, and that's part of the issue for them. They eat close to the surface. They like to rest close to the surface. So they don't go out in deep waterways. They usually, at the most, could go 15 feet deep, but they really don't go very deep in the water. So that can be part of the issue, that they're near the surface often. So if someone's going by in a boat and they're not following a wake zone and sort of no wake zone and going slowly, it doesn't give the manatee a chance to get out of the way. If you're speeding by and the manatee's there, they sort of take off on a and go quickly in a short burst, but they can't maintain that speed. So, and they'll just get startled and take off, but at that point it's probably too late and they've been nicked or hit.
That was Virginia Edmonds at the Florida Manatee and Aquatic Center at the Lowry Park Zoo talking with Florida Matters producer Lottie Watts. Here in the studio to talk about the request to downlist the manatee from endangered to threatened, Craig Pittman, a reporter for the Tampa Bay Times, literally wrote the book on manatees. He's the author of Manatee Insanity, Inside the War Over Florida's Most Famous Endangered Species. Craig, thanks for being here.
Happy to be here.
Joining us from the studios of WUCF in Orlando, Patrick Rose, the executive director of Save the Manatee Club. Hi, Patrick.
Good morning. Great to be here.
And joining us on the phone from Portland, Oregon, is attorney Christina Martin with the Pacific Legal Foundation, which filed a request to move the manatee from endangered to threatened. Hi, Christina.
Good morning.
In his book on manatees, our guest Craig Pittman has called these big mammals the hippies of the animal kingdom, staunch vegetarians, nonviolent, but with a powerful sex drive. Jimmy Buffett of Margaritaville fame so loves these creatures. He helped found the Save the Manatees Club. We used to eat them until they became a beloved symbol of the state of Florida, and their dwindling population put them under the protection of the Endangered Species Act. But manatees are still colliding with the future of Florida commerce and recreation, and that has led the Pacific Legal Foundation to petition U.S. Fish and Wildlife to downlist the manatee from endangered to threatened. Let's start there, Christina Martin. I guess, first question, what's a group with the name Pacific in its title doing involved in a case involving the Florida manatee?
Well, the Pacific Legal Foundation is a national law firm, though we were founded on the West Coast. And actually, I work in the Palm Beach Gardens office. I'm just out this weekend to visit some family out here. But so just to start off, the Pacific Legal Foundation represents Save Crystal River. So Save Crystal River is a local group in and around Crystal River and Kings Bay. And it's made up of citizens in the area who originally founded it just to partner with a rotary and buy equipment, essentially, for them to be able to clean algae out of the river and the bay. And they came to us a couple years ago after the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service proposed some rules that were purportedly to protect the manatee. But they felt that those rules went too far. And now the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service did not end up adopting those rules. But it did alarm our clients. They were concerned that that these rules would have really hurt the people there, but they thought they'd do little to help the manatee. And it had to do with some, you know, things like fishing line and anchors. And they had seen a pattern over the years of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service increasing its regulations in the area. So they were concerned that they thought we better hold the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to follow their own rules so that we, you know, essentially so that they protect themselves from excessive regulation in the area. And that was the purpose of our getting involved.
I want to get this straight right off the bat before we move on and talk to the other guests here. But do you think that manatees deserve some protection?
Personally, yes. Yeah. And they do too, actually. They were initially involved in, you know, protecting the habitat, and I mean, I've spoken to a lot of the members of it. Like, for example, Steve Lamb is the vice president of Save Crystal River, and he and his wife have been involved for a long time in habitat restoration, and also just are personally really interested in the manatee, and in some ways, I think even have higher standards of protection in certain ways. So, for example, they want people to stay further away from the manatees and give them more space than what is often promoted in some materials out there. Remind me the question again.
Do you think manatees deserve some protection?
Oh, yeah. But the issue here is whether the Endangered Species Act needs to be followed or not, and we think that it should be.
Craig Pittman of the Tampa Bay Times, Fish and Wildlife, did say back in 2007 that the numbers were showing the manatee could be downlisted. If manatee numbers are up, should not that happen? That's what the law does say, right?
Well, it's kind of curious. If you look back at the history of how manatees wound up on the endangered species list originally in 1967, it was specifically not because of their population. The biologists writing the reports then said, we don't know how many manatees there are. They're really hard to count because they spend most of their lives underwater. Instead, we're going to list them because of the threats that they face from speeding boats, from loss of waterfront habitat, et cetera. And those are threats that, of course, they still face today. In 2007, when the Fish and Wildlife Service sent out that report saying, we think we might be able to downlist them, they based that not on those old criteria, but instead on a computer model about the future of the manatee. And if they were to take that step to downlist them, it would, I think, be the first time they'd ever done that based on a computer model about the future and not on what's currently going on now.
So the question, I guess, is were those numbers in 2007 inaccurate? And has something happened between 2007 and 2014 that changed those numbers any?
The people who would argue that they should not downlist them would point you to the tremendous losses in the population that occurred over the last few years. In 2010, there was a very large cold snap that killed hundreds of manatees. And then last year, a record number of manatees died, more than 800, due to red tide in southwest Florida, where about 40% of the population lives, and also due to a mysterious ailment in the Indian River Lagoon over on the East Coast, where manatees are still dying, even today, at the rate of, I think, about one or two a month. They don't know why. They haven't been able to get to the bottom of exactly what is causing that.
Patrick Rose of the Save the Manatee Club, your co-founder, Jimmy Buffett's a big backer of water recreation as well as manatee protection. Why is it so hard to square development, recreational boating, and such with the health of the manatee?
It's actually not hard at all. In fact, I've been at this for over 40 years, worked as in private sector as I am now, but I also was the federal coordinator, the first one for the Fish and Wildlife Service. I also began and ran the state of Florida's manatee and marine mammal programs, and we actually balanced growth and development quite well in that process, meeting with the applicants, developers, and coming forward with what were primarily sustainable developments with appropriate regulations and speed zones. So that's pretty much a fact. Despite that, manatees still are killed and injured. And as was mentioned in the intro, the way we know and track the population essentially is because almost every manatee has been within an inch of losing its life due to boating. So it takes a balance. But I do want to get to some really important points from the beginning. Pacific Legal Foundation is representing Save Crystal River, as what was mentioned. But Save Crystal River did not start as an organization to support manatee protection or even habitat protection. In fact, they began in order to oppose the Fish and Wildlife Service and try to stop new protections in Kings Bay and the only national wildlife refuge in the entire United States for manatees. And in fact, they petitioned the Fish and Wildlife Commission, the state of Florida, to remove all manatee protections from Kings Bay and were denied twice. And that petition and the finding of it let it be known that, in fact, if they granted their petition, all those protections would be removed. So I think we have to understand that the goal here was nothing of benevolence. It was all about removing the protections that existed. And so for those who might say just downlisting them from endangered to threatened would not result in more harm to manatees, I think they don't understand the process.
Christina, does your firm represent this organization, Save Crystal River, and did Save Crystal River indeed petition to have all manatee restrictions removed from Crystal River?
I don't know about that. I got involved in the case about in the last year, and I'm just going off of what my clients have told me. All I know is they got involved with the Rotary. They helped them acquire assets, and they participate in a program called One Rake at a Time. And, you know, they have other purposes with helping the river out, but, you know, I can't speak to their motives so much as I can speak to our own. Pacific Legal Foundation was founded, 40 years ago to protect individual rights and property rights and just to enforce the Constitution. And one of the things that we think is important is that the government should follow its own rules. And the Endangered Species Act, you know, it was made specifically to help species recover to the point where you can actually take them off the list. And you know, downlisting from endangered to threatened is actually not removing a species from the protections of the Endangered Species Act. All it does is put everybody on notice that the species is doing a little bit better.
Clarify something for me really quickly, because sometimes things are way oversimplified. I have heard this battle about the manatee up in Crystal River boiled down to this, essentially. Boats won't be able to go fast enough to get from the river to the Gulf, and that will hurt the economy and hurt people's recreation. Is that worth hurting a manatee, I guess?
You know, my understanding is that the concern is that the Fish and Wildlife Service will increase the current boating restrictions. That's what my clients have talked to me about. They're worried about an increase of the restrictions that are already there because they continue to make more and more rules as the manatee does better and better in their particular area.
I think I really have to jump in here.
Patrick, go ahead.
I began as a underwater photographer and scuba instructors going to that area since the late 1960s. Subsequent to that, finished my aquatic biology and graduate training, continued to work in that area and study manatees. And yes, there are more protections today than there were in the beginning. And yes, there are more manatees there than there were in the beginning. But no one has done anything from an economic standpoint to hurt that community. The manatees actually become the cash cow, if you will. There's $20 to $30 million income coming from that. The proposals that were made that the Save Crystal River fought would have added about 5 to 7 minutes of time in terms of being able to move their boats through there, but it was stopping, you know, mortality and injuries to the manatees that were just unquestionable in terms of what they were. I personally had to stop the Save Crystal River from illegally dredging in the bay to remove muck. And so when they tell you today, which I think they're a little more sensitive today since we stopped them and held them accountable to what they were doing there, they were basically dredging in front of their own properties to make it to take up the muck in front of their properties and then redistributing that silt and so forth throughout the bay, actually endangering it to algal blooms that could have caused fish kills and other problems. So I do have a lot of personal knowledge of the organization that's behind this and being fought on behalf of the Pacific Legal Foundation, and I think they need to understand that the motivations were not pure. The record is very clear. But I'll just end that part of it as saying we welcome the review if the Fish and Wildlife Service reviews all of the data, the most recent information, because there's only one conclusion to make, and that is that it's not the time to downlist manatees, and we need to actually increase their protections. And that's really what Save Crystal River is afraid of, is that as these problems accelerate and increase, the Fish and Wildlife Service would be forced to follow the law, as Pacific Legal Foundation would, I hope, still want them to do.
Craig Pittman from the Tampa Bay Times, environmental reporter and author of Manatee Insanity. Is this a civil liberties issue in Crystal River, the ability to do what you want with your private property and with your private recreational craft that's butting up against the manatee?
That is a wonderful question, because that has been sort of the argument in a lot of places whenever new manatee speed zones were put in, is that there were arguments that, oh, this is violating my right to free travel. And in fact, there was a court case about that down in Lee County where ultimately the judge said, I can't find this in the Constitution anywhere, that there's anything that says you're not supposed to slow down. But it does kind of get into the whole issue of why this becomes such an emotional debate, because people feel like, on the one hand, that manatees are this symbol of Florida's wilderness and what's left of the old Florida that attracted so many people here in the first place. And on the other hand, you have people who believe that living on the water and boating are two things that they love passionately about living in Florida. And so when those two things kind of come in conflict, even though people are sort of aspiring to the same sort of feeling, they run headlong into each other, and it causes these deeply emotional situations, like one public hearing I covered down in Fort Myers where 3,000 people turned out to scream at the Fish and Wildlife Service because they wanted to limit new dock building in an area where there were manatees, and they just went nuts over it. And it was like a cross between a Tea Party convention and Let's Make a Deal, where people were showing up in costume and carrying big crosses that said property rights on them.
That's Craig Pittman. He's the environmental reporter at the Tampa Bay Times, author of Manatee Insanity. Also with us on the phone from the West Coast, Christina Martin with the Pacific Legal Foundation. And Patrick Rose joins us from Orlando. He's the executive director of the Save the Manatee Club. The Federal Wildlife Commission being petitioned to downgrade the manatee from endangered to threatened. We'll talk about that coming up. This is Florida Matters. This is Florida Matters. I'm Craig Kopp, sitting in for Carson Cooper. We are talking about the request to downlist the manatee from endangered to threatened. With us, Craig Pittman, a reporter for the Tampa Bay Times and author of Manatee Insanity, Inside the War Over Florida's Most Famous Endangered Species. Patrick Rose, the executive director of the Save the Manatee Club, and attorney Christina Martin with the Pacific Legal Foundation, which filed the request to move the manatee from endangered to threatened. What happens, Christina, do you think, if the manatee is downgraded from endangered to threatened? That's what you're asking Fish and Wildlife to do.
Right. Well, if they do that, then it will still be protected under the Endangered Species Act, but it will put everybody on the same page as to whether the manatee is, in fact, recovering.
Patrick Rose, executive director of Save the Manatee Club, do you agree that it's really semantics? The manatee will still be protected?
Well, I don't believe it's semantics at all. And in this case, we have both a marine mammal and an endangered species. There are synergisms between those two laws that it makes a difference whether or not they're listed as endangered or threatened. So the protections overall will be reduced. The real food for thought, though, is that now that we're seeing decreases in the population, we're seeing degradation of its critical habitat, we're seeing this go in the wrong direction, as I said earlier, after many years of it going in a positive direction. If you now look at reducing its protections, as Save Crystal River very much wants to do, you're going to be looking at reducing those protections right when they're needed the most.
Craig Pittman with the Tampa Bay Times, author of Manatee Insanity, endangered to threatened. What's the diff?
Well, the interesting thing to me is that when the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service came out with its five-year report in 2007, the one that is the basis for the petition from the Pacific Legal Foundation and Save Crystal River, they specifically said, you know, we think that the manatee can be changed to threatened. And in fact, even without making that change, we're thinking about starting to use that. And when we review permits for new waterfront development, for new marinas, for new dock permits, etc., where before we had been very cautious about it because this was an endangered species. Now, if it's threatened, maybe we'll be more lenient. Maybe we'll allow more of those to go on. And I think that would be the big change you would see if that status did indeed get downgraded to threatened, is you would see a lot looser attitude towards waterfront development in Florida.
Christina Martin with the Pacific Legal Foundation, the people who are petitioning the Fish and Wildlife to downlist the manatee. Would you be okay if the U.S. Fish and Wildlife did another survey and did not use the 2007 figures, or do you think they have to use those 2007 figures to make this determination?
We want them to do another survey. We want them to do another five-year review. The Fish and Wildlife Service is notorious for being late on its five-year status reviews, and that's one of the things we actually file lawsuits over as well with other clients. And we actually prodded the 2007 finding along with 88 other species, but with a 2005 lawsuit. But I want to make another point here, which is that, you know, we're not talking about taking away all of the manatee's protections, but if the manatee does ever recover to the point where it shouldn't have, where the Fish and Wildlife Service's own scientists say that it should no longer be protected by the Endangered Species Act, we would encourage them to then delist. And, a lot of people would be worried about the manatee, but it's important to consider that the Endangered Species Act has a lot of consequences for violating it, and you can accidentally violate the Endangered Species Act. And the whole point of listing a species is to get it taken off. We're talking about boats hitting manatees. But if that's the concern, you know, Florida has its own laws, and counties can have laws that can all protect the manatee. So, you know, what we need in that case would be a scalpel and not a sledgehammer.
I think Christine is sincere, but I think she's just absolutely wrong about what her clients have tried to do. And as I said earlier, they petitioned twice to remove all state protections for the manatees in Kings Bay. So she was referring to when the federal laws are not in place that we'd have the state laws, but we have the organization she's representing having petitioned twice to remove all state laws. So the manatee, in effect, on its own is merited to have endangered status, but it actually provides protections for these aquatic ecosystems in ways from, again, a synergistic standpoint, protecting the aquatic ecosystems. And so when you look at reducing protections for the species specifically, you are also looking at that effect that's going to come from it not being as protected as well as it needs to be, and the aquatic ecosystems continuing to decline and suffer.
Patrick Rose, he's the executive director of the Save the Manatee Club. Craig Pittman with the Tampa Bay Times. Do you see a day anytime in the near future where the manatee will be off the endangered?
I don't know. I sure hope so. I mean, certainly there have been other success stories. The American alligator was on the original endangered species list along with the manatee. And now they're not only no longer on the list, but actually we have a hunting season for them because there's so many of them and they show up in people's swimming pools and, you know, that kind of thing. So I don't think manatees are anywhere near that point yet, but it would be nice to think that at some point in the future we could find some way to balance out the competing interests we have in our state and find a way to provide for this very special creature that is such a big tourist draw, that they would find a home here as well as all the people who like to share that space with them.
That's Craig Pittman. He's the environmental reporter at the Tampa Bay Times, also author of The Manatee Insanity, Inside the War Over Florida's Most Famous Endangered Species. We have also been talking with Christina Martin with the Pacific Legal Foundation representing Save Crystal River, petitioning Fish and Wildlife to delist the manatee down to the threatened level, and Patrick Rose, executive director of Save the Manatee Club. I know the conversation was short and the issue is deep, but thank you all for your participation today. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's it for today's show. You can join the conversation on our Facebook page, or you can send an email to floridamatters@wusf.org. Florida Matters is produced by Lottie Watts and is a production of WUSF Public Media. Our engineer is Craig George. I'm Craig Kopp, sitting in for Carson Cooper. Thanks for listening.